Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out today. Well, as the scandal of the now-shuttered state drug lab continues to unfold, a related challenge is also unfolding on Boston streets. What to do with the hundreds of current prisoners who will soon be released early because evidence in their cases was handled by the so-called rogue chemist Andy Dukin? It's been called a reentry crisis, and it's virtually unprecedented. Transitioning from prison back into society has always been considered the weak link in the nation's criminal justice system. But this new flood of soon-to-be-released offenders is going to strain that system even more. And in a moment, we'll talk with Boston Police Commissioner Edward Davis and Lynn Levy, the executive director of SPAN Incorporated, a prisoner assistance program, about what Boston can and is doing about this, these new offender or these soon to be released offenders, who may be back on Boston streets. But first, we'll start with the story of someone who's experienced the challenges of reentry firsthand. Her name is Delia Vega, and she's now the coordinator of ex-prisoners and prisoners organizing for community advancement. Delia Vega, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you? I'm actually the executive director for local and state organizing for EPOCA.
Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't mean to get your title incorrect there, but thank you for the correction. Delia, I'm wondering if you might be able to just briefly tell us, you yourself have been incarcerated before, is that correct?
Yes.
And how and why?
Well, my past starts with drug addiction. I'm in recovery. And as a result, I did a lot of things that today I'm not proud of, but it was a direct result of my drug use.
And how long were you incarcerated for?
Well, I was one of those, as they say out in the recovery, I did my time in installment plans. So I was in and out of incarceration quite a few times.
And every time, so if you were in and out, you went through this concept of reentry several times. What was that like every time you completed a prison sentence?
It wasn't easy for me. It was more not receiving the services that I needed while I was in there because, I mean, and I'll give you, for instance, the first time that I had been incarcerated, I kind of really wanted, I felt that at the time that I wanted help, but not understanding what I had to go through because it was my first time. Like, I wanted to believe that the services that they were offering were real, right? The problem became when getting access to those services.
Getting access to those services. Okay, so can you take me into a little bit more detail about, your last week incarcerated and, you know, as the days tick by when you were going to be released, like, what happened? Did you get visits from, officials or advocates who might have been able to connect you with services? What was that process like?
So we did have what was called the after incarceration services come in and sort of doing the process, showing us like what services were actually available to us, and they came in maybe a couple of weeks before I believe I saw them twice to sort of set us up for when we come out. What they did was talk to us about those services that were available. And gave us a booklet.
Okay.
Yeah, the challenge was not understanding. Like, for instance, I really wanted to go into a rehabilitation program because I felt that, you know, the first numerous times that I've gone in were just really short sentences. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't understand, what wasn't explained to me, that, for instance, in my case, a rehabilitation program took weeks, if not months, for waiting for a bed.
Okay, so you didn't understand. That's what one of the sort of the missing pieces was for you, that you didn't understand, and you weren't able to get anyone to help you understand how to, you know, be a part of the system after you came out.
Right. So, I mean, you know, they might have not understood that piece themselves because I believe what's happening is that, you know, there's hundreds of people that are being released or needing services. And so there's, as a result, there's a long waiting list in many places.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
Well, Delia, I wonder if you could just hang in there for a minute, because listeners, we're talking about the state and city prisoner reentry programs and the system of helping the formerly incarcerated basically reintegrate back into society. And we're talking about that because of the unprecedented number of releases soon to be expected due to the state drug lab scandal. Possibly 600 or so currently incarcerated people may be released back into Boston as a result of that scandal. So have you or a family member ever been through the prison system? And if so, what was reentry like? What services do you think society should provide the recently incarcerated, and at what cost? And when you hear that maybe the recidivism rate in Massachusetts is 45%, why aren't we doing more to prevent reoffending in those first uncertain months after a person leaves prison? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I've been speaking with Delia Vega. She's joining us today from Worcester, and she's with the group Ex-Prisoners and Prisoners Organizing for Community Advancement. Joining us now is Edward Davis. He's the commissioner for the Boston Police Department. Mr. Davis, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Lynn Levy. She's joining us from Freetown. She's the executive director of SPAN Incorporated, a prisoner assistance and reentry program. Lynn Levy, welcome to you.
Thanks very much.
So, Commissioner Davis, let's just start with you. You heard Delia Vega describe her experience with reentry. Can you tell us a little bit about what Boston Police and law enforcement and city officials are doing to prepare for the several hundred prisoners who may be experiencing early release due to the state drug scandal?
Certainly. We've had a very successful program going for several years with the Suffolk County House of Correction. Sheriff Cabral has worked very closely with us in putting together something called the Boston Reentry Initiative. We identify individuals who are in her institution, who are about to be released, and we work very closely with them based on the assumption that a small number of people are responsible for a large number of the crimes that occur in our city. What we've seen is the ones that we work with who are leaving the House of Correction, their recidivism rate is reduced dramatically because we're able to talk to them, explain to them really a two-prong message. The first prong of the message is, we know what you did before, and we know you're getting out of jail. We don't want you to reoffend, but if you do, we're going to be there to arrest you. On the other hand, if you don't want to reoffend, we have services available for you to keep you out of trouble.
Now, I hear you saying that the recidivism rate for people receiving these services is lower. Does that mean that not everybody who's leaving incarceration is getting these services?
That's true. It's a limited program.
Why is it limited?
Simply because of funding. These funds usually come in from the Justice Department. It's a certain amount of money per inmate that's leaving, and we only have limited resources. So what we're doing is we're picking the individuals who showed some promise in the institution and that we might be able to work with.
I'll come back to you in a moment,
sure.
Commissioner Davis. But Lynn Levy, chime in here, because to me it sounds like if there's evidence of success in reentry programs, that somehow the funding should be shaken loose in order to recreate that success across the criminal justice system for everybody who's leaving a Massachusetts prison.
I would agree with that.
And what do you think is preventing that from happening?
Well, I think that some of it is a matter of people making some decisions about prioritizing their donations to services. I think that it's not an inexpensive thing to provide services to folks coming out of incarceration. However, it's not a very popular thing. And when you compare the kinds of services that receive a great deal of funding, you usually see more money spent on enforcement and incarceration than you do on decarceration and reintegration.
Do you think that this time around, because we could see in Boston in particular somewhere around 600 current prisoners being released early, it's this influx, that this is, as some are calling it, a crisis of reentry right now. Does this feel different to you than business as usual?
I think what feels different to me and to our agency is that under normal circumstances, we see men and women who are incarcerated approximately 6 months before their release. What Delia said is totally appropriate and correct in that to set up a reentry plan requires time, requires effort, and enough advance notice to try and make sure that facilities are available and services are available immediately. When you're dealing with a situation where so many people are coming out so quickly, we don't have time to be able to do that kind of work ahead of time. So it does put a pressure on agencies that are providing the service, and there are some basic survival kinds of needs that people have when they walk out of incarceration that need to be addressed right away. And they're already in short supply.
Let me get Commissioner Davis back in here. I mean, it seems like it is a crisis.
There's no question it's a crisis. People are hitting the streets already. We have 69 people that have been released, probably 200 that have been to hearings. 50 or so of those individuals who have been released are on GPS bracelets, so there's some monitoring going on. But I should stress that we were lucky in this case because I had been sitting down with the Director of Corrections, the Commissioner of Corrections in Massachusetts, with John Larrabee from the Crime and Justice Foundation in Massachusetts, with the District Attorney, Dan Conley, and with Ron Corbett from Probation. And we had been crafting a state program. Right now, our efforts have been in the House of Correction. We've been putting this program together for the last year. When this crisis hit us, we sat down and we said, we need to ramp up our efforts and get something in place, and we've done that in the last few weeks. We've already met with over 100 prisoners in meetings that have been occurring at the institutions, at the various state prisons in Massachusetts. I have a team of Boston people, the Boston Center for Youth and Family, Boston police officers, people from the DA's office and the U.S. Attorney's office, and also some ministers. And we are going into the institutions, giving that two-pronged message to the prisoners right now.
Commissioner Davis, let me ask you, though, a little earlier we heard Delia Vega say that when she was going through the reentry process, while she was incarcerated, someone gave her a booklet, basically, right, and said, here you go.
It has to be more than that.
Is it more than that right now with these prisoners coming
Span
out?
Well, Span has worked with us, for instance, and does a great job in the program over at the reentry, the Boston Reentry Initiative. We need to expand those services for this glut of prisoners that we're seeing. There's no question this is a challenge. All of the services in the city are stretched to the max, but we've pulled people together and explained to them that we're going to need their help. And then we've gone to the state and asked for additional money so that we can do enforcement as well as services so that there's a balanced approach to this.
Mayor Menino has asked for, what, $15 million?
That's correct.
In fact, I have a letter here that the mayor wrote to the state, to Secretary Jay Gonzalez, who's with the Executive Office of Administration and Finance, and he describes very clearly the programs that will be needed. I mean, specifically policing and law enforcement, as you've been talking about, street workers and community center resources, emergency shelter and reentry services, rental housing assistance, education, job training, and placement, mental health and substance abuse services, et cetera. It's a long list. Lynn Levy, it seems like we're still in a world where, regardless of the hard work that folks like you and Commissioner Davis are doing, that when people come out of prison here in Boston, they need assistance across the board.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. It takes people many years, many months to end up with a prison sentence. It takes people a considerable amount of time to reintegrate and to reintegrate successfully. I think that the issue that we're facing right now with the drug lab situation is that we need to make sure that people have a place to go. And I can give you an example of some phone calls we've gotten from inmates and from inmates' families. Families who are living in Section 8 housing, who know that their a family member is coming home, that individual can't live with them because it'll jeopardize their Section 8. We've talked to folks who have been released and have had no way to get home, no transportation. We've worked on that situation, and we're beginning to put some services in place through some of the work we already do inside the facilities to make sure that folks have rides to where they need to go. We've had folks who have called us from the institution saying, I'm going to be let out sometime between October 22nd and October 26th. I do not want to get high again. I don't want to go back to prison. Where can I go? What can I do? Can someone meet me? Can someone help me? And they have no clue. They have no idea.
And let me just get, if I can, let me get Delia Vega back in here. Thank you for being patient, Delia. You've heard Commissioner Davis and Lynn Levy speak here. You work with ex-prisoners. That's the group. Your group is named Ex-Prisoners and Prisoners Organizing for Community Advancement. What do you think is the most pressing need right now that you'd like to ask Commissioner Davis and Lynn Levy to help satisfy?
Well, I think, I mean, every day someone walks into the office and, you know, and talks about how hard it is for them to find employment, right? A lot of people who are just released, a lot of folks, you know, just like Lynn said, there's no place to go. A lot of folks are released, you know, and they want to get into, like, a program, but they can't, right? So I think, you know, just needing more programs, job placement, right? And I heard Lynn say that, you know, people with criminal records can't go into their families' homes because, you know, they'll jeopardize their Section 8. People can't get housing once they come out. It's hard enough. They can't get a job because of their criminal record or they can't find housing, but then they can't even go into their family's home. So where are people supposed to go?
Commissioner Davis, I wonder if we can just take a step back here because you heard Lynn Levy and now just Delia saying that there are still really basic needs that have to be met. And when, you know, I hear statistics such as the recidivism rate for people who don't receive such services when they first come out of prison can be as high in Massachusetts as 45%, it seems like we're missing an opportunity here to do something significant about, you know, criminal justice in the state.
There's no question. They could be higher than that. Nationally, they're as high as 60%. This is a small group of people that we need to pay close attention to. And if we're able to get them away from doing what they were doing before they went in, we're going to have less crime in the city. So it's a practical measure to take if you want to keep the numbers of criminal acts low in the city. Their needs break into four categories. They need housing, they need work, they need substance abuse, and they need educational programs so that they can improve their lot. But it's not popular talking about getting a job for someone or getting housing for someone who's just done time. There's a lot of people that need jobs out there. There's a lot of people that need housing. I think emergency housing is something that we should pay close attention to because we don't want people living on the street. And so if we have shelter space and it's available for people who've just got out of jail, then it's important to find a place for them. And also the educational opportunities. If they are trained at a vocation or some type of other GED program, they're going to be more likely to get a job.
You know, I've read that particular Boston City councilors, I believe Tito Jackson, recommended that there's an opportunity here for Boston to perhaps establish a permanent office of reentry and really take the lead in doing exactly what you're talking about and making this sort of a broader, more permanent part of how, you know, ex-offenders are reintegrated back into society. Do you see it as an opportunity?
Well, Mayor Menino has already got an office of reentry that's working out of the police department, and we've been having discussions for some time now as to how that's going to look in light of this crisis. You can be assured that even if a portion of this funding comes through, there will be significant steps taken by the city. And Secretary Gonzalez has been very good. He's looking for measures. He's looking for outputs. He doesn't want to just give money away. He wants us to say this program is a proven program. We have that data, and we're presenting that to him.
Well, Commissioner Ed Davis is the commissioner for the Boston Police Department. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Delia Vega with Ex-Prisoners and Prisoners Organizing for Community Advancement, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Lynn Levy, Executive Director of SPAN Incorporated, a prisoner assistance and reentry program, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can always leave a comment at our website. Eric Harrit already has, and he says, these people are drug offenders, and prison has a potentially negative effect on helping people stop their drug problem. So in a way, this might be the single best thing the Massachusetts justice system has ever done for its drug users. Let us know what you think about that at radioboston.org. There's more in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.